There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad you're here. Live local talk. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106, plus the website, fmtalk1065.com, where we're streaming and our online opinion poll questions are up there. Also, our top stories of the day. You can get your podcast, onesie, twosie, a la carte from there, or you could subscribe to get those by going to Stitcher for old-fashioned Android users like me from back in the day. Or if you're a hipster with your iPhone, you go to the iTunes store. Either way, subscribe for our podcast. Also, Spotify has them there as well. Just some of the platforms where you can keep up with FM Talk 106.5. And yeah, big thank you to the texters coming in here. I appreciate it. I appreciate your support when I go on a bit of a rant there about what makes the cut for a Facebook Live. And, you know, but to back up what Dalton said, this is what we talk about in the hallways all the time. You know, if there weren't people ever watching a fender bender on a Facebook Live, if the fact that just sitting watching two cars waiting for Mobile Police Department to come and fill out an accident report, if nobody watched that, then they wouldn't do that much anymore. But it's chock full of people watching it, so what do I know? All right, let's check in with our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News, and also giving us some perspective on a lot of things in Washington and back home. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Hey, good to have you back. And you really helped me last hour as I was kind of wading through this the Caitlin Collins story. And you know, people immediately yesterday when the Caitlin Collins story happened, they went to the, oh yeah, well, you know, here's Obama doing it back in 2012. And it was interesting, you pointed out that both of the people at this center of this controversy are Daily Caller alums, like you are.
Yeah, Neil Monroe, who was center in the 2012 sort of shakeup, I was actually there at the office that day, and I remember him being chased by other reporters down from the White House to the Daily Caller offices, which are about five blocks away from the White House, from the gate there. But yeah, they're both Daily Caller alums. Caitlin Collins came just after my time at the Daily Caller. My wife, Caroline May, she worked with Caitlin Collins, but I didn't. I know her from the 2017 cycle. She was I just started working for CNN, and they had put her in Alabama, given that she was an Alabama native.
Now, explain to folks, too, when it says, well, she was the pool reporter or pool spray, you know, try to explain how that works to people.
So what they do with the White House press corps is you take turns, and they do it alphabetically, or at least that's the way they do it now. But they have somebody kind of covering the White House beat at all times. And the pool reporter, it just happened to fall on Caitlin Collins and CNN at that time. They write up, you know, a few graphs and kind of write a summary about what's going on. President Trump landed in Marine One on the West Lawn, and he was seen headed to the, you know, whatever. And you get these little briefings every so often that you can check in and see what the president's up to.
Okay, so it's like it's a shared coverage. Somebody's on call, basically.
Yeah, and if you're a member of the White House press corps, if you have one of those seats in the briefing room, or you know, you have the option to buy a table at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it's an association, and part of your duties are that you have to participate in the pool, and that's, you know, it falls onto all the member organizations to fill the duties of the pool.
All right, I want to get to the story that you were talking about, and this is with all the other things swirling around in Washington. This is real stuff here. This is what I like. This is the real stuff that this is sausage getting made kind of stuff. And you're watching this when everybody else seems to be distracted by the tennis ball thrown to the corner of the yard. You and I were talking earlier, and you said, "Hey, you know, this battle over who's going to be the next speaker could come down to the president giving it a nudge one way or another." Remind folks that we are looking for a new speaker of the House, right? Because Paul Ryan, he's heading back. He's going to Wisconsin.
Right. So what I would say is probably what triggered this today was, you know, last night, Jim Jordan and the Freedom Caucus and Mark Meadows filed articles of impeachment for Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. So today, Paul Ryan at his press conference was asked about that, and he said he was not going to support that. Well, that put in place, that opened the door for Jim Jordan to announce that he was going to run for speaker, and I think it gives him sort of a platform. You know, that the current leadership, which has kind of been passed down, I guess going all the way back from the Boehner and so on, it's been kind of roughly the same crowd of folks, and they have something to run on. They needed to do it differently now, and that's, to me, is, you know, now we're going to have this interesting sort of struggle for leadership.
Well, okay, explain that as you get to this group versus that group, and kind of maybe we'll hit the rewind a second here, because people say, wait a second, he's saying Jim Jordan. Why have I been hearing that name lately?
So Jim Jordan is the, he came on probably about 10 years ago to the House, got elected, might have been the 2010 cycles, either 08 or 2010, he was a freshman, and then he's worked his way up, and there's this caucus in the House known as the House Freedom Caucus. I believe Bo Brooks is in it from Alabama, right. Gary Palmer, who represents the Birmingham area. You know, and some of these other names you hear that are the really conservative faction within the House Republican Caucus, such as Louie Gohmert, and
Mike Lee, on the Senate side.
Well, Mike Lee's in the Senate,
right? Side, right. That's why I was just kind of framing this. It's, you know, we often talk about the Freedom Caucus from the Senate side. You know, obviously fewer people, but that's been the thorn in the side when it came to the health care debate for the president and those things. It's that same Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, it's the same sort of brand of Republican Party. It's sort of the candidates that when they ran during the Tea Party sort of phase in our politics, and they meant it. They were the guys that got elected. So right now you have this faction. It's Jim Jordan who's being backed by these folks. And I think, you know, he'll have some support. And right now they're gaining in numbers where it's hard to get anything through the Republican caucus without having the support of the House Freedom Caucus.
And that's because the it's narrow, right? I mean, they need the House Freedom Caucus for the Senate, for sure. You got to have it because you have such a narrow amount, really don't have a big majority to work with. So I know that's why they command more of the news cycle. But also remind people, Jim Jordan, there was an attempt to drag him across the coals here, too.
So not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, we heard of, you know, Jim Jordan... You know, all I've always thought of him is he's always bragged about being the wrestler, the collegiate wrestler. And he was a wrestler at Ohio State, and apparently one of the coaches was engaging in improper sexual conduct with some of the student athletes. And, you know, we hear about it all of a sudden as of like a couple of weeks ago, something that happened decades ago. And the idea was that Jim Jordan could have stopped it, but he didn't. He looked the other way. I think he was like a coach or associate coach or assistant coach while this was going on. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. And you had people from the wrestling team speaking up about Jim Jordan. And the idea was it was so conveniently timed that Jim Jordan was, first he was going after Robert Mueller's special counsel probe. Mm-hmm. They thought, well, it's the deep state striking back. He's a potential contender to be Speaker of the House or be in the leadership someday because he has the backing of this faction in the House. Maybe there's something there too, the trying to damage him, kneecap him a little to keep him from rising.
And then it kind of plays out. Now, it's just interesting. I mean, we both had those suspicions, but look at us now with where Jordan is, and we wonder, How much earlier were they on this than us? All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poore. We'll also take some of your texts and calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. It is Midday Mobile. It's Thursday, and I'm glad you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile Thursday style. Continue our conversation with Jeff Poore with Leah Knapp and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, who we're going to talk about in just seconds. On the road and getting pretty darn near Dega, baby, Dega. And first, though, I want to kind of wrap up what may be at play right now when we're trying to decide who will be the next Speaker of the House. How long does this process go on? How long do you think this, till the cement's dry and there's certainty within the ranks?
Well, they do a lot of this behind the closed doors. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna have a floor vote and have a split Republican caucus.
Right.
But the Democrats united behind Nancy Pelosi, and that would open the door for her to be the Speaker of the House with more Republicans and Democrats. So a lot of this will happen behind the scenes. Now, there was some talk about Paul Ryan stepping aside early from the speakership and go ahead and having someone installed in place before the new, before the election. But that kind of ran out of momentum. I think we won't see any of this really take place until the new Congress. And, there's also that possibility that we may not even be talking about a speaker's race. We might be talking about a House Minority Leader's race.
Oh, come on. Oh, ye of little faith.
I mean, I still think the Republicans hold the House, but it may be, a little premature to talk about who the next speaker is before we get through the 2018 cycle.
Oh, come on. This is what we're all about, is talking about things prematurely. Because, hey, you did that in the new Lanyap, your discussion of the U.S. Senate election. Bloodletting is what Alabama needs. You're talking 2020, man.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things that I think would set up. We, in Alabama, we've had some, I would say 2017 was a pretty contentious cycle. But we haven't really had the heavyweight cycle that everybody's been waiting for, where you had the best consultants line up against the best consultants. Everything is sort of incestuous right now. But when you start talking 2020 Senate, and you get the candidates that are like, where the problem we had in 2017 was the fix was in for Luther Strange. It didn't turn out that way because the voters actually had something to say about it. But all the consultants, all the smart money was told, you're going to back Luther Strange. If you don't back Luther Strange, then we're going to blackball you. And there's a few people that didn't take that to heart. There was a Trip Pittman over in Baldwin County, mm-hmm. Mo Brooks, North Alabama, and obviously there was Roy Moore, who, marches to the beat of his own drum. That was what backfired on Luther Strange. You didn't have the real people that I think would have been real contenders and made a race out of it because they were told to stay home. Luther was our boy. And so you have all this money and all these consultants with all their ideas kind of waiting on the sidelines, and you still have that. You have this tension in Montgomery, and everything's just kind of getting along, going along to get along. What you really need is to break up this, and the best way to do that would, in my opinion, would be to have a big election cycle in 2020 for Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. We have all the special interests lining up behind a candidate, and whoever finishes this battle royale at the end, it kind of gives us some clarity about what's really going on in our politics, and things kind of function differently, and it's not so top-heavy.
Who do you think the champions will be that hit the field of combat?
Well, obviously right now everyone's talking about Bradley Byrd, and I even think Bradley Byrd's talking about Bradley Byrd running for Senate in 2020. My guess is he's the BCA guy. Now, the BCA is not what the BCA was this time a year ago, but he's the guy that sort of got his own sort of niche crowd, in Montgomery backing him. The other heavyweight
and I'm sure there's going to be some other names come along, but the other name that I would keep an eye on is Senate President Del Marsh. I know he wanted to run in 2017, and he was one of the guys that even went to Washington and came home with his tail tucked between his legs, told that he can't run, that the, you know, you're not going to be able to hire any consultants. And he complained to the press the way that Luther Strange was sort of just kind of forced down everyone's throats, and then when the voters didn't have a say in it. And I think he's still kind of bitter about that. I think he wants a chance to run for Senate.
So who does he go for backing? I mean, you've got and BCA, which, remember, we've reported, talked about this a bunch on the show, BCA with the mules leaving BCA and those big companies, they went somewhere. Where did they go?
Well, the ones that left, so the BCA under Billy Canary, there was some, you know, all this behind-the-scenes intrigue. Alabama Power, the big player in the state right now, walked away from the BCA. So did Blue Cross Blue Shield. So did Regions Bank. These are household names, of, you know, the titans of industry in Alabama. They walked away from the BCA. I think that they line up with Manufacture Alabama, which is sort of a, you know, they the paper mills and a lot of the unionized industry in Alabama. There are unions in Alabama, labor unions, by the way. But I think they kind of coalesce, and I think that's through Del Marsh. I think their guy is Del Marsh. I think the people that left the BCA are going to line up behind him. I think what's the remnants of the BCA, what it is now, sort of line up behind Bradley Byrne. And I, you know, to me, those are your two front runners right now. If they go head to head and they have, you know, checks being written their way, you can see, you know, it can get really really dicey really quick.
All right, and I want to talk about what this is going to be. It is going to be interesting, and it will be, you know, a different BCA, like you said, than it was in the past. And then this will be compared to the old guard, the mules at Manufacturer Alabama. I hope that turns out to be the battle. It'll have some. At least we'll know who rules the state. You know, there will be no question at that point.
Yeah, right now you have just sort of this weird get along, you know, caucus, and it. It's not really happy, and things are kind of done in a weird way to keep everyone happy, which isn't necessarily the best thing for the state of Alabama.
All right. Now, what are you doing getting so close to Dega on a Thursday afternoon?
So at 3 p.m. today, there's a big announcement that's going to about Talladega. It's going to feature Governor Kay Ivey. I believe the aforementioned Del Marsh is going to be there as well. There's some speculation what it could be. Nothing's official. Nothing's leaked out yet. And there's some speculation it could be like to Talladega. That would certainly, you know, change things, especially the way the sports schedule in Alabama lines up. But I think it's a big enough deal for KIV to show up. I think that it's something worth keeping an eye on today.
Now, okay, and it helped me because, you know, I'm challenged here when it comes to my NASCAR knowledge. I'm a very minimal knowledge. But one of the deals with the July race for Dega was the heat, right?
Yeah, so about 10, 12 years ago, NASCAR moved the July race that used to be at Talladega because of the heat. The sport was kind of growing, really, really taking off. And, you know, they packed the stands. They looked at the Talladega July race and said, man, it's just too hot. Let's try running it in the fall, and I bet it's 10 times better. I bet it really does well. Well, it did well, and it did well for a while. But what else is going on in Alabama in the fall?
Yeah, there's football. Just
there's
a little bit of
college football.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, though, I mean, college football, they play on Saturday. The race is on Sunday. You, if you're really dedicated, you can do both. And I've done Auburn game on Saturday, NASCAR race on Sunday many, many, many times while I was at Auburn. So it can be done, but I think the idea is if you're like a family and you're doing a kind of a family thing by going to the track for the weekend, you really don't want to be out at the track when Alabama's kicking off against Tennessee for the third Saturday of October. You want to be at home with the family, maybe grilling out or maybe even at the game itself.
Yeah, so this will be interesting. You'll be, you said 3 o'clock this afternoon, they're going to unveil what it is they're doing with Vegas.
Whatever the announcement is, and the idea is if they have lights, then they can move that race out of football season and maybe to a time when it's more, it's better for people in state to go.
All right. Remind folks, if they're going to follow that, of course, they can follow you on Twitter. I'm sure you'll give us some live tweets.
Yeah, it's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
Thank you, man. And we'll be looking forward to that information from Dega this afternoon. 1:30, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Grab your calls, too. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
There, and Jim Jordan announcing his plan to run for House Speaker. Should be interesting. All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5. By the way, update here from the folks over at Mobile Alabama Traffic on Twitter. I-10 westbound backed up from the Wallace Tunnel past the Causeway exit. Eastbound backed up past Virginia Street. That'd be a perfect segue into discussion of the proposed bridge project. We'll get to that in just a second. But right now, I-10 westbound backed up from the Wallace Tunnel past the Causeway exit. Eastbound packed up, backed up as far as Virginia Street. All right, if you're here on this side of the bay, on the west side, you're good. No big traffic issue and nothing to keep you away from Goldfingers in Saraland or on Dolphin Street. Although Dolphin Street does get busy just randomly there at 65 and Dolphin, but tough it out. Get there. Go see them at Goldfingers today and check out. If you have not checked out anything, if you've not been to Goldfingers before, I would say go for the tenders or the wings. And you could do the fried. You can also do the grilled on those tenders, which is so very good. And if you have done the fingers, you've done the wings, you want to expand your choices, how about chicken sliders, quarter pound hamburgers, BLTs, buffalo chicken sandwiches, also chicken salads piled high with chopped grilled or fried chicken, also the pineapple chicken wrap, and sides, oh, they got great sides, Saratoga chips, crinkle cut fries, sweet potato fries, baked potato, cheese sticks, coleslaw, potato salad, onion rings, and toast. Check them out. You can drive through. You can go in. I like going in. It's really, go in if you haven't done that before, too. Really great place to sit down and grab a quick lunch. They're that fast, casual style restaurant. But you can also go online and see what they have going on. Like if you, for some reason, need to check out the menu before you get in there, you can do that at goldfingers.com. They also have an app, the Goldfingers app. You can make your orders from your phone right there and drive up and pick them up. Try Goldfingers today on Dolphin Street and in Saraland across from Walmart. And we'll grab calls, too. At 343-0106, 343-0106. We can talk some bridge. We'll get to that in just a second. Let's see here. A couple stories. I do want to get to a couple stories here that I have not been able to get to for the last day. This one stemming off the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. I thought this was pretty cool. And the story reported, but it hadn't got a lot of traction out there. Story from Fox 10, from their website. Shelby Myers had filed this. I said, Derek Williams and his son-in-law, Matthew Miller, were calling it quits on day two of the rodeo when Miller started bringing in his anchor. It was much heavier than usual. Said, it was stuck, quote here, it was stuck, wouldn't even come off, and then Brandon got there to help me with it, and we gave it a little extra tug. I felt it when it broke loose and noticed it had some extra weight on it. I was pulling it up and said, golly, this thing must be stuck in a net or something. Sure enough, when it came up, all I could see is a big old rod right here coming up. Attached to their anchor, end quote, attached to their anchor was another anchor, one that looked much older. Now, I have found, believe it or not, you could ask him, I found Captain Bobby Everscott, who lost an anchor years ago, and I found it the same day. We're fishing the same places, but that was a brand new anchor. The anchor these guys found, a real antique. Listen to this. They found the anchor just off the point right across from Fort Gaines. They look at this anchor. It's an old-looking, old-type anchor. They find it off of Fort Gaines. So they took the artifact to Fort Gaines. They said it looked like the 19th-century anchor in the middle of the historic site. The one Williams and Miller found is shaped the same way. They said it probably came from a Civil War ship, maybe in the 1860s. They've said the volunteer there at Fort Gaines looked at it and said he's seen only five historical pieces this big pulled from the water around Fort Gaines. Says no doubt it's older because it's wrought iron. It hasn't been mass-produced metal for quite a while, so it's off an older boat. It's just hard to say which one, and being that there's so many shipwrecks in the area, it could remain a mystery for a long time to come. Which, by the way, I'd like to dig that story up. Remember, it was I think it was John Sledge that wrote a story for Mobile Bay Magazine on the number of shipwrecks in the bay. I mean, those of us who grew up here, you know quite a few of them, but we just barely are scraping the surface. It's a crazy number. I think it's over 100. It's something like it's. I have to go back and Google that. But for now, the anchor is going to be on display inside the museum at Fort Gaines. And so, yeah, these guys fishing the rodeo. They're anchored up off the east end of Dolphin Island there at Fort Gaines. Pull up this anchor, and it's really cool looking, old school anchor. So I just thought, you know, it's kind of just one of those how about that kind of stories. But I thought that was worth mentioning. All right, okay. We can go to all the foods that'll kill you stories if we want to. I mean, can we? No, not the new Bluebell. The Bluebell ice cream is fine. New Bluebell, they featured new Bluebell, the new summer flavor. Not that one. The story, yes, the Hungry Man story. Let's see here. And also, by the way, speaking of food, tomorrow you can get free donuts, Krispy Kreme. That's a whole other story. All right, this one here says there's been a recall for Hungry Man freezer meals. Now, If you're still going with the Hungry Man, that's old school. That reminds me of my childhood. I have not consumed a Hungry Man, what they used to call, a TV dinner in a long time, but it looks like there's a recall on those. See if we can get the specifics on that. Okay, our news partners at WKRG say Hungry Man frozen dinner recall due to salmonella. Salmonella. It's like the summer of salmonella, isn't it? Type of Hungry Man frozen dinner being recalled due to the same salmonella concern plaguing other companies that use the common whey ingredient. Okay, so this is what caused the Goldfish recall. Remember the Goldfish cracker thing recall earlier this week? Now U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service announced the recall that affects the 15.25-ounce individual frozen microwavable dinners with Hungry Man Chipotle barbecue sauce boneless chicken wings. Wings spelled in a funky way. Printed on the label and bearing a best buy date of 9/6/19. Products shipped to retail locations. Let's see. Is it here? I see Pennsylvania and Virginia. Maybe. Why are they reporting it if it wasn't here? Maybe you went to Virginia and bought you some Hungry Man. If so, the consumer care phone line is 888-257-1057. So there's another whey recall in the case of that one. That would be the Hungry Man. But we, you know, old school, used to call TV dinners. Also, the Vibrio. You see the Vibrio story, folks, over the Mobile County Health Department today sending out a memo. Mobile County Health Department says they've seen the first case in 2018 of Vibrio. Mobile County Health Department says the exposure happened in the Mobile River. This is what's odd about this story. So Vibrio is a brackish water thing, right? Like, if you're way out in the Gulf and you're in really good salty water, Vibrio is not, at least over time, has not been an issue. And if you're way up in fresh water, Vibrio has not been an issue. It's in the mixing zone, the way I understand it, from the pointy heads that know more about this than I. So the Mobile River, you know, this time of year is going to show up as, it's odd to think, oh, they're in the Mobile River, that's going to be fresh. But when we haven't had a bunch of rain and the river levels are down, you do get the mixing, but usually you have the salt water low and the fresh water on top. But they're saying right now that this case of Vibrio was contracted in the Mobile River. Now, it doesn't say, was this down at, you know, down at Little Sand Island, down there at the burn ships? Was it the whole way up where the, you know, Davenger's Point, where the Alabama and Tom Bigby come together? I don't know that. It just says Mobile River. But that's odd. That's probably the furthest north I've ever heard of a Vibrio story. That's according to Mobile County Health Department today. Plus, we got Triple E now, too, which is known as not a wrestler. It does sound like the name for a wrestler, but Triple E, the equine encephalitis. And usually it's about August we get the first report of that around here. But I guess it jumped the gun a little bit, and Triple E reported by the health department as well. So there you go. So you can't eat your Hungry Man TV dinner. You better keep your open wounds from out of the water at the Mobile River, and you know, keep your horses away from the mosquitoes. So there you go. Those are the health stories. That's our health segment for today. Did I miss anything? Oh, with the donut store, yes. Okay, Krispy Kreme celebrating 81st birthday. One day only, donut chain is selling one dozen of the classic original glazed donuts for just a buck with the purchase of any other dozen donuts. That goes on tomorrow. Let's see. Through August 2nd. Oh, it's an extended deal. Okay. So they said they also will add extra sprinkles for fun for its birthday celebration donuts. That goes through tomorrow through August 2nd. So there you go. So there's our health news stories for the week. I think I'm done on that. Come back from the break. We'll grab some calls. And also, speaking of health, on the serious note here, the story we had this morning, and listen, some people had said, hey, those numbers are probably skewed because this, that, and the other. Even if they're skewed, that Harvard research that showed the area of it's Congressional District 4, which is Colbert County, Franklin County, DeKalb County in North Alabama, having the highest rate of opioid prescriptions per capita in the nation. How many? 166 prescriptions. This was in 2016 now. 166 opioid prescriptions per 100 people. Number 5 on that list was us down here, AL1. 131 opioid prescriptions per 100 people. Something, isn't it? It'll make you raise an eyebrow or two. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Remember, check us out online, too. Stories we talk about here on the show, you can catch on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Even out there on Instagram, just look for FM Talk 106.5. The straw, another straw story. You know, I'm going to get myself in such trouble here because, let's say, the majority of the people in my house are hot and heavy on this thing. And listen, I understand, I know it's shocking to people, and people are like, what are you all about? That I'm green, right? And Ben, not just yet, not just on John Deere green, that I'm green because I like the idea of doing what you can to have a better environment than, where you found it, right? To make sure to do improvements, water quality, air quality. I think those things are important. I'm also somebody who I would hope is a realistic person who realizes what works and what doesn't work out there. And this straw thing, I said it this morning because I was talking about that California DMV. Have you seen the story? I tweeted out a worker out there at the DMV in California who, let's see what the total was. An employee of the DMV who spent, at least according to the audit there, between February of 2014 and last December, spent 2,200 hours on the clock asleep. They said it added up to 275 workdays, more than a full year, costing like $40,000+ to the taxpayers out in California. She would sleep 3 hours a day. Her bosses said they had to wake her up 3 or 4 times a day. And the bosses didn't push the issue because they thought there might be some medical issue or something. And then they got called in and had to go to some training or something about dealing with people sleeping at work. It was like the most ridiculous story. And then I just pointed out, because we were reading that story this morning, and I said, you got to be kidding me, that California, who has situations like this, we went down a list of what the state audit found and waste in their state government. But what are they doing at their legislature? They're all up in arms about keeping plastic straws away. And now I see this. Walt Disney Company said today they are going to eliminate single-use plastic straws and plastic stirrers. It's always been a hard word for me, stirrers, from most of its parks by mid-2019, joining a growing number of businesses that are ditching plastic straws in an effort to reduce plastic waste polluting our oceans. Okay. So the sentiment here, and I don't think this, I think the sentiment for a Disney or another group out there is all about PR and press, and look, we're doing our part, okay? The sentiment of trying to keep plastic out of the ocean, I think is a good thing. It's a very good thing. But the reality is, plastic straws are not what's causing you've seen the garbage mats in the Pacific and elsewhere. It's disgusting. I'm not real impressed, but a couple things. Number one, it's not the United States producing the bulk of that plastic that's in the ocean. We can always do better, and we should always do better and strive to do better and quit littering. It's like we talk about here in our area, right here at home, keeping the plastic out of the water. Don't litter. Why don't we, this obsession with getting rid of plastic straws because they're going to end up in waterways. I got an idea. How about you put your trash where you're supposed to put it? And then it doesn't go in the waterway. But, sorry. All parks except Disney Tokyo are included in this plan. Because, you know what, the Japanese that produce a bunch of the trash that gets into the Pacific, they're going to be exempt. They said it will be the reduction of more than 175 million straws and 13 million stirrers annually. Okay. So a bunch of straws, a bunch of stirrers. Are you assuming that 175 million of those go into the waterways? Disney also said it plans to reduce the number of single-use plastic shopping bags offered at its parks and cruise ships, giving guests the option to purchase reusable bags instead. Listen, we do some of that in my family. We use reusable bags. Okay? We also get plastic bags. And like I've told you before, plastic grocery bags are, you know, when need be, can sub in as, yes, of course, they can be garbage bags in the house and waste paper bags. They also can be luggage for a guy like me. You pack your stuff up in those and just go about your business. But it goes on to say in the story, Disney is a company, one of many companies looking at joining the war against plastic straws. This is the emperor has new clothes is what's going on here, y'all. And it's a weird situation. Like, I always find myself in the middle of something here where it could be the enemy of everybody. And I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to be frank. I want to keep plastic out of the water. I am a green guy. I'm a guy that's all about water quality and air quality. But we're chasing this easy. If you think not having plastic straws is going to fix the problem with people littering, throwing crap in the water, ruining what is downstream from them, whatever that is. If you think plastic straws, getting rid of those is going to fix it, you're on a fool's errand. Starbucks, of course, announcing they plan to phase out plastic straws by 2020. McDonald's said they would ban plastic straws in its UK and Ireland restaurants. What if they get some ice? Hey, how about this? How about you get some ice in your drinks in the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland? Alaska Airlines says they'll be the first airline to ditch plastic straws and stirrers after a Girl Scout stirred them into action by pointing out the negative environmental impact of plastic straws. In other words, these companies are jumping on this thing for a feel-good. Eliminating plastic straws and other plastic items are meaningful steps in our longstanding commitment to environmental stewardship, said Bob Chapek from Disney Parks. Okay. I'll leave you with that. If we had solved all the other problems with getting junk in the water, then I'd be okay, good. But whether it be the state of California, where they're trying to ban the plastic straws for the entire state, or it's Disney or whatever doing it on their own free will, y'all are chasing the wrong thing here. You're chasing the wrong thing. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. Be back with you tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings starting at 6. And reminder, podcast of this show and 40-some-odd hours a week of content we produce, that's online on our podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. Even features that don't make it on the air, we've got those in podcast form as well. So go snooping around over there. Check it out, or better yet, subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher.